Tonight we'll primarily be in Colossians 1 and 2, if you'd like to follow along. I want to take a few minutes this evening to examine some passages here. Colossians was written to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae, and I won't read all of this, but read a little in Colossians 1, starting verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, speaking of Christ, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved... For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So before Christ, we were in this situation where we're trapped in sin, but through his sacrifice, he rescued us and redeemed us by paying the price for our sins. And continuing on in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So we see Jesus is the visible image of God. He's the creator, and all things have been created for him. The world may try to tell us that we're in control, but Paul reminds us that it's Jesus that holds everything together. Paul continues in this chapter to state in verse 18 that Christ is the head of the church, and through his death he reconciled us to God in verse 22. I guess I'll read starting verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So, there's a lot that we could talk about here in Colossians, and this is kind of setting the stage for chapter 2, but we live in a world that's constantly trying to drive our focus away from Christ and put our trust in many other things, whether that's ourselves, our jobs, our sources of income, our knowledge that we gain in school or otherwise, political figures, religious role models or institutions. But here the emphasis is that our hope and our faith is found only in Jesus. And Paul here leaves this warning in verse 23, if Jesus is supreme over all things, then nothing else should take his place in our lives. We can't let other things take first place in our hearts because our hearts belong to Christ, is Paul's warning. So that leads us to chapter 2 of Colossians. Starting in verse 1, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Christ came to this earth and all wisdom and knowledge comes from him. And dropping to verse 5, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So we see here we are in him, we've received him, we've learned about him, we've believed in him, and we have tied our lives to Jesus. And faith in Christ is where this victory is found. And in response, we walk in him and we're walking with this overflowing gratitude. Dropping to verse 9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority, and in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You see, in him, repeated multiple times here. And in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So we see in him, with him, through him. Everything goes back to the teachings and the rule of Jesus. Everything goes back to Jesus. And here's the warning. The world is trying to distract Christians, distract us, draw our gaze away. And I skipped over verse 4 earlier when I was reading through this, but going back to verse 3 and 4, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. So the world around us will come up with these persuasive arguments to try and draw us away from him. And Colossians 2 talks about several of these. I'd also skipped verse 8. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So here we see these two things in contrast. We see him, Christ, and what he stood for and commanded, and then there are the worldly things founded with this human reasoning. It means this human reasoning will reason about it, will use our knowledge and worldly wisdom to think this through. We'll put it through our lens, put it through, well, culture today is this and that's different, and we'll say those things, and then we'll figure out what God really wants for us because we know better. That's this worldly human wisdom and philosophy. And if it makes sense to you and me, then it must make sense to God, right? It's that attitude. But no, that's obviously not right. Instead, this is man-made religion, and we need to be aware not to use human reasoning in determining how we serve God. We can reason about what Scripture says and understand it through what God reveals to us, but we can't pick it apart and change it and move it to fit our lives. That's this philosophy. So we're not to be led astray by human teachings that add to or take away from the message from Christ. And our faith should never be the result of this human wisdom. It's not self-help or personal strength or some special spiritual experience. It's in Christ and Christ alone that our faith should be founded based on what's been revealed to us. 1 Corinthians 1 talks about this. Verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. So we need to be thankful to God that he's unchanging and his wisdom is unchanging and consistent and permanent. And instead of reasoning against that wisdom, we need to recognize who we are relative to God and be humble enough to bend our will to his. So back to Colossians 2, in verse 19, I guess 18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. We need to stay connected to Jesus, holding fast to him. But if we let ourselves be led astray by these visions or spiritual revelations, we're not being guided by God. And this is the same thing as human wisdom. We may call it something different, but it's still this human wisdom that we were talking about earlier. And I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but Paul in Galatians 1 told the Galatian brethren that even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we've preached, he is to be accursed. So if we leave the teachings of God for these new teachings that are from mankind or any other person or organization other than Jesus. It's not coming from God. And there's much more that we could talk about, and I encourage you to think on these things, and there's a lot of lessons from the book of Colossians. But I wanted to make this point that it's in Christ and Christ alone that we're made complete. Jesus is fully God, and in him we are made full. We don't need to add anything to Christ, because if we're in him, we lack nothing. And I'd already read Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12, but I'll read it again as we close. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So do you trust that Christ is enough? Paul's message to the Colossians here is that Christ is supreme over all. In him and him alone are we complete, and we must continue to walk in him and not be deceived by the world. So examine yourself. I encourage you to do that. Examine your faith. Have you let something else in your life take the place of Christ? Have you been trying to add to the gospel or bend it to your will instead of fully relying on him? Or maybe you've never fully committed your life to him. Salvation is in Christ alone. You should be concerned with the gospel, Christ and him crucified, being buried with him and raised with him and living with him, living for him in faith. So have you been buried with him? Have you been raised up with him? And are you living for him? If you haven't, that opportunity is available to you tonight. If we can help you in any way, whether to be baptized or express any other need, I invite you to do so at this time as we stand and sing.